it's just going to happen. I think I noticed myself getting discouraged early on when certain things didn't come through, and then not even a week later, something else opens up.
Welcome to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your all-access pass to the music industry. I'm your host, Matt Landry, and every week we immerse you in the music world, uncovering industry insights, offering expert guidance, and exploring the stories that influence the industry. The Cloud Machine Podcast is brought to you by Aites, the innovative creative agency behind some of your favorite live concerts and tours. Want to take your music to the next level? Join our vibrant community on the Aites Network Discord. And with that, let's get started with today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Cloud Machine Podcast. My name is Matt Landry, and today I am joined by none other than Nate Day, the co-founder of Aites Creative. We've been on quite a journey together, building Aites from the ground up and working on incredible projects along the way. And I thought that it's been 3 months since we had a podcast together, and that it would be fun to do another podcast in on this late summer, early fall situation, almost a back to school. So it's almost getting each other back in order here. In this episode, we'll dive deep into where Aites stands today, how Nate is feeling about our progress and the challenges and victories we've faced together. This is more of a candid conversation, a little bit of fun. In the end, we're going to, you know, do a little fun questions and stuff like that. So hope you have fun. Hey, Nate, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I just drove in from Ottawa today because, shout out, my brother, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, he had a play. Well, he's been doing a play. For those in Ottawa, you got to go check out the play. It's at the Ottawa Little Theater this week until Saturday. So go check it out.
What's the play?
The play is called, and I'm a bad brother right now. It's All Good. It is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. So it's to my defense, it's not the type of title that you'd sort of remember off the cuff. You know, I know that there's a dog, there's an incident in the nighttime. But again, for those wondering, it's happening until this Saturday. It's called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's at the Ottawa Little Theater in downtown Ottawa. I saw it last night. It was fantastic. But I'm back home now in Toronto, and I'm glad to be here with you, man.
Cheers. Me too, man.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm good. We'll get into it, but yeah, excited to chat about what's been going on.
Oh yeah.
I've had my head down a lot. I'm sure you have too. It's nice to kind of take a second and reflect on what's going on. So.
Oh yes. Fantastic. I wanted to start off by asking you how you feel about the current state of Aites. And that, is it in line? Yeah, exactly. Big question.
No, I'm kidding.
How are you feeling about where Aites stands today, but not necessarily on all the details, more about, is it in line with your original vision when we started 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no.
Sure.
I think, it's definitely like we're getting to do what we love, and I feel like I'm getting to do what I love. And, I also think like what I love has maybe changed over time too. And I found like excitement in some areas that I didn't think I would, you know, like working on equipment stuff, actually find a lot of fulfillment in it. And I didn't think I would really like that. Not that I didn't think I would like it. I just didn't see myself taking as much of a role on that.
Right.
I also look back and like, I remember we had a season where we like wanted to include like being like tour managers and maybe like on the road and like doing more of the logistics side. And we did that for a bit, and it was like not what we loved. And it wasn't that.
No.
And I love all the TMs we've gotten to work with, and I think they're amazing at their roles. I think I just realized, oh, I'm maybe not as cut out for it as I thought I would be. And that's fine. But I remember when we started out, that was like an aspect that we wanted to include. So Yeah, I think it is in line. But I'm also very curious to see, like, I feel like we've said every time we like make a change or like an update on something, it's like probably a year later, 2 years later, we'll be making another change or another adjustment. And that's just the nature of, one, our industry, and two, being a startup. So, yeah. How about you though? Like, how has it stayed the same, like in terms of your vision for it?
Not necessarily. You know, I think you mentioned, you mentioned sort of the TMing, sort of era that Eights was in for a little bit, which was last summer.
Yeah.
It's funny because now thinking about it, at the very, very beginning, when we had the thoughts about Eights, in 2022, we basically saw how the industry was going and basically told ourselves that in 15, whatever years, that we wouldn't necessarily want to be on the road. It's funny that last summer we were like, oh, TMing, what about that as like one of our main like offerings, one of our main services? But it's funny now that, you know, we're a little bit away from that, but at the start we didn't necessarily want to do that. So it's like, we tried it out. We knew that we didn't like it. And it's fantastic now that we're sort of back into the original thought that we had, which was not TMing. So I think that's interesting. You bring that up, which is great. For me, yeah, at the beginning, I thought we were going to, you know, be a little bit more on stage than what we are now. That's one big sort of point. But also, like you're saying as well, it's like finding out some other roles that we like and being satisfied with that as well. And you know, you just mentioned like the tech side and the equipment side of things, which is a new sort of thing for yourself. For me, it's been mostly like the non stage stuff that's been surprising, you know, the playback and the whole, you know, creative, but on the outside of the stage, things like that, which have been sort of eye opening on my end. And it's great to sort of do more of that while still having a little bit of a yearning to get back on the drums a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. I've been curious about how much this is maybe, you know what? No. I'm gonna write that question for the end.
Okay.
You got to watch till the very end to see what I just thought about.
Yeah. So we've been chatting today about this episode, and Nate's been, we've been crafting a few fun questions for the end, just to ask ourselves, stay tuned till the end for that. Nate, I want to ask you about, some unexpected lessons, you know, we've learned along the way through, you know, our recent projects and maybe through a recent year, with Eights. What have you learned, that was something new?
Yeah. I mean, we're learning all the time and like constantly happening. I think a very practical one that comes to mind is, just like how much lead time we need to give things. And I think and it's a tough balance because the music industry, a lot of creative industries, they operate so last minute. Like it's like, you know, every stage of the creative process kind of takes as much time as possible, and people want to change things last minute or ideas come up that we want to integrate. And that's just a normal creativity. But there's also the side of things that we do where I'm like, you know, let's like when we did that work for the Beaches earlier this year, like doing their pedal boards, like there were some changes along the way that, you know, took place, but that was like a, you know, 6 to 8 week process of like design to like consulting to order. Like there was like, you know, and that's changed a lot of how I act, like set expectations with clients too. And with vendors, that's kind of, I had a couple really tight turnarounds that almost didn't happen. And those were kind of taught me like, okay, I need to start setting expectations a little bit better for myself, for the client and then for also the people I work with on this. And also assume that things are going to take longer than they do and just budget for that and just be like, all right, like how long do I think it's going to take me? And then add another 20% to that. Or somebody else. It's like, hey, when can you get this to me? Or, hey, when will this be ready for pickup? And just assume it's going to be later than what they tell you. Not because you don't trust them or anything like that. Because there's so many other things to change in the process.
And the thing with that is as well, is that you can always sort of deliver beforehand. You know, it's tough to be like, hey, this will be done in 2 weeks and then it's done in 3 weeks rather than, oh, saying it's done in 3 weeks, but you actually deliver it in 2 weeks. Like that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. And one other lesson I'll just toss in, I feel like it makes sense, but it's kind of like, don't put all your eggs in one basket in the sense that I feel like a lot of, it probably applies to other industries as well, but, for every like 5 things you quote on, 10 things you quote on, only a couple are going to be like greenlit. And that's not, it could be for such a variety of reasons. But not kind of like gripping on too tightly to things or getting too discouraged if something doesn't come through. Cause that's just going to happen. I think I noticed myself getting discouraged early on when certain things didn't come through and then not even a week later, something else opens up.
Yes. And,
so not letting your highs get too high when you're like early on in a project or get your lows too low. Cause I think I've just had to learn in terms of managing my own expectations of things. A handful of projects, a couple aren't going to work out and a couple are. And for the ones that don't work out, something else is going to come up and you just have to assume that.
It's fantastic.
How about yourself?
Yeah. For me, it's very, very, very similar. I echo those lessons for sure. Specifically the last one that you just mentioned. For me, it's one to add is also just learning that we're also sort of the heroes of our own journey in regards to things won't happen unless you like put the things in place, you know, in regards to like you sort of have to make the moves to ensure that you're sort of taken care of, you know. It's like it's an industry that if you don't put those pieces in place that it won't happen. Now there's another lesson to that where it's also okay, but don't push too much. You know, it's like okay, you should put your stuff in place and put your ducks in a row, but don't try to push those ducks in the farm kind of thing. And this is a weird analogy, but in regards to like not necessarily knocking at the door too hard of the artist or the manager or whoever.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, well, what's next? What can I do more? What's the next step? What can I do for you to make the project better? Sometimes it's just, I think for me, I've learned when not to push too much. And I think I'm still learning that, in the past few weeks here. So
that's very interesting. It's, the other analogy the phrase that comes to mind is like, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. Like you can send things, but you can't force people to buy your stuff. Like you know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And like forcing or pushing too hard will push them away. That's interesting.
Yeah. I love how you have actual analogies that are said, and I've just said something about ducks and houses.
I like the duck one better. It's like, you know, because maybe ducks don't want to live in a farm. They want to. Can't captivate them. Capture them. What's the. It's been a long weekend, bro.
It's been a long weekend. That being said, yeah, I don't know where the ducks came in and the house. I was doing chickens first and then I was going to say coop. And I was going to say coop, but ducks don't necessarily go in a coop, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see if Josh can keep the part in.
Yeah, he'll probably leave the part in. We'll have to consult with Marina about this duck situation. How has your creative direction and sort of creativity evolved since we've started? And where do you see it heading next?
You mean us like together or like my personal?
Yeah, maybe just like wait, maybe it's a question of references. Where were you at maybe 2 years ago and where are you at now in regards to even looking at the creative process within Eights and with our clients?
Yeah. I think I've become more comfortable with the importance of like, I don't know how to say this, like taking initiative and like leading the charge a bit. I think I come from a very collaborative philosophy.
Yeah.
And I would still vouch for a lot of importance and sticking with being collaborative, but I've also seen a lot of scenarios where too much collaboration, like people need leadership, and like there'll be people like,
yeah,
you know, in band setting for the band leader, like the band wants direction a lot of the time. And I've seen that where like, and we've seen that where people are struggling being like, I don't have enough direction. It's like, oh, like, you know, that's, it's a balancing act. It's like a balancing act between like, bringing in new ideas and knowing when to bring in new ideas and knowing when to just make a decision and execute it and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. And we've been brought in, or I've been, or you've been, or someone else has been brought in to make that decision. And that makes everybody's life easier sometimes. So,
yes. Yes.
That process, like, I feel like I wasn't very comfortable with that. And only recently I've started to think about that more and be like, okay, I'm really good at coming up with as many options as possible. And then be like, well, here's all the options. But more recently I've been like, okay, I think I just need to say, this is what we're doing.
Yes.
Or
yeah,
let me make a pitch and be like, this is how it's going to, or limit the options, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the person I think I've been like working on. Just quickly on the musical front, I feel like I've been very interested in like I'd say over the last 2 years, I really love the R&B arrangements and like the shot heavy like band. There's been a part of me that's really been interested in more like seeing a lot of like more folk influence come into live bands. Like I saw Lizzie McAlpine band, or like Lizzie McAlpine recently, and her band was very like a lot of layering, a lot of live like looping and stuff that I think doesn't, I don't know if I see it on like major stages right now.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I've been interested in like where's musical direction and like live arrangements gonna start going on a like on the A list and B list artists, what that looks like.
That's okay. Great.
But yeah, yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we have similar takes on this, and sort of that's what I was saying with the with duck analogy earlier, which is like, it's like a lot of people hire us as to let's say to direct,
yeah,
but sometimes we have to make those decisions, and you know it's an experience thing where it's like, okay, at the beginning, and I see it now looking back, but it's like, okay, like this is possible, this is whatever. And sometimes the reality of it is, and like you said, it's that they're hiring you because they don't have time to do the work.
Yeah.
And that's just like a reality. Now sometimes, and we've come across this as well, sometimes they don't understand that they're hiring you for that.
That's also true.
In regards to, I feel and this is general, just generally in the music industry, but I see it in other industries as well for creative directors, is that a lot of people in that hire you don't necessarily know what that means. But it's also important to emphasize the responsibilities. And that's coming from both camps as well. I see a big lesson and creative lesson to tie both questions in, is that we need to, set our expectations and our responsibilities quite earlier with the people that we work with. But maybe something on the internal side, that we'll chat about. That's great. On that, what excites you most about our potential expansion into new markets and services?
Yeah. What excites me most? I think there's a couple things. I think I'm really excited to see, like, for people listening right now who might, I don't even know when we did our last update.
But 3 months ago. So it's a long time ago. Yeah.
Honestly, dude, it feels like March in my head right now. I've been spending a lot more time than I thought on the equipment side and on the like technical side.
Yeah.
And so I think that has been for me, like something I've been excited to like expand, but like see where things pick up and how we can grow that into like a function of the business. Because it's a very different model than our direction performance stuff we do.
Yeah.
Just from an operations standpoint. It's different accounting, it's different quoting method, it's different. You know, we got inventory, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's been traction. We're starting to see some more movement on that side. So I'm very excited to just see how that can kind of develop and maybe systematize things a little bit more, get a space at some point,
yep.
Or like move, like start to make that a little bit more official. And then also for myself as a co-owner of a business with you, move, like keep my hands in both like pieces of what we do. Cause I feel like I do miss some of the creative and musical stuff as well. I love all of it, but yeah, I think that's one area I'm excited for expansion. And, obviously too, just getting the prospects of, working on artists that excite us. Like, I think there's been a couple coming up that I'm very excited about. I won't say their names yet, but I'm excited about, some stuff in the chats and, we're also working on, getting some US work permits for yourself, for us.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, you're going to say like, we shouldn't have said that and cut that out of the pod.
No. It's great to say it. We're Eights is going international here, folks.
Global.
Eights global. Big vibes. We are currently getting our O-1 visas, our permits to work in the United States, folks. I wish I still had my from the early episodes, but
anymore. I'm excited about the potential of just getting to work with clients internationally too.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of potential there, and I don't know. I mean, the most exciting part of any what we do, or the exciting step in the process, is those initial like listening to the artist songs that they want to do live and like that dreaming stage.
Yeah.
That's like a life-giving kind of situation or like moment when you get to like talk with an artist and they like send you like, here's what I'm thinking of doing. And you get to like hear it. Like, I love hearing new songs and new material and new ideas. Right. So just like continuing to do that and like maybe, you know, expand our roster and our ability to work with additional artists as we build more connections. So
yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. but I'm excited about.
Yeah, for myself, it's very much the potential of stepping outside of the city of the country. As well, as people know, if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely know that there are bigger markets than the Canadian market in the music industry. And we're excited about that. We are also very excited to empower individuals that we work with to work in these international regions as well. So I'm excited for that potential, in regards to sort of markets, for services though. I'm excited to see where the builds go as well, in that regard, and to see what more we can do on that end of things. You know, for the past few years, we've been sort of specializing in more portable gear. And I think that's fantastic, because there's such a need for it. But as we, you know, expand our services and our reach, seeing where, you know, where we can go, with our rigs and, you know, systems and rentals sort of division, as they say. So I'm excited about that. In regards to more of the creative direction, musical direction side of things, offering more than just the music is really interesting to me. Seeing, you know, where we can go with, you know, vocal coaching, performance coaching, things like that, while it not necessarily being us at the forefront of those services, sort of channeling it through AIDS is quite interesting to me. And really comes to speak to the real 360 needs of an artist when it comes to getting them more confident on the stage. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So that's great. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'll ask you the next question.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Welcome to the Cloud Machine Podcast. sorry. Want to know what milestone you think best represents our journey so far, or is the big highlight the experience? One immediately comes to mind for me, but I want to know
what. Yeah, well, this is funny, and I didn't even think about this before you asked me this question, but the and it's funny because it just happened. It is the Budweiser stage show with the Beaches that just happened last week, or a few weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago, as this podcast comes out. It was such a fantastic evening, not necessarily only for AIDS, but for the musical community of Toronto, to see three homegrown talents take on Bud stage. First, we had the opportunity of being part of both the Beaches and the Valley Camp, both sort of two separate. I was more on the Beaches side, you were more on the Valley side, which I'd love to talk about as well. But that evening, just sort of stamping our name on that, was really fantastic. And just to see us two sort of working for two different artists, but at the same time, the same sort of building and venues. It's fun. It's a funny thing where it's like with AIDS, we haven't necessarily done a lot of days sort of together in the past, like I'd say 6 months. But it was great to do that together. And I think that just, for me, there's a milestone, a recent milestone that we'll probably think about or look at for years to come. There's a few other ones as well. Getting a few clients, maybe that we necessarily can't talk about right now, but getting those a few clients recently are a big milestone, especially when it comes to getting clients from word of mouth. That's not necessarily a testament to us, but it's a testament to some of the people in our community and their trust in us, I guess, to refer to that and just being grateful for them. So just a milestone in regards to our network as well, which has been fantastic. What about yourself? Milestones?
Yeah. No, the Budweiser show the other week was definitely a highlight. I just felt very special, part of. you know, and even personally, like working with Valley, like, you know, I've known some of those guys since we were in high school, you know.
Yeah.
To like see people, like that many people sing their songs and, you know, just run out and like change Rob's guitar for him. I was like, man, like, I saw you in the hallway at like high school, you know, when we were in high school. I'm running out here in front of like 16,000 people making sure your guitar is, you know.
Yeah.
I was just like special, like personally, like from a, like as their friend, really awesome. And to see like, you know, basic stuff, like the girls used the pedal boards that like I made here, like at this desk I'm sitting at right now.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Like that patch that we programmed with James in the friggin' rehearsal space, like for hours, they were just sitting there like playing the guitar, being like, does that sound good? And then you see them ripping those patches in front of 16,000 people. It's like, whoa, like,
yeah,
it's real. Like it's real. I think that was just a special moment to be a part of. And I think recently, like, you know, I won't say too much yet because we haven't announced yet, but just did like on the rig building side, our first like inventory import. And so that was like, just from like a, like, business owner, like small business owner, like doing our first commercial import, like properly, I think. But that was just like a cool moment of like, oh, this feels big. Like, you know what I mean? That's like a big step.
Yeah.
What I was doing 6 months ago. So.
No, it's fantastic. And we always like thought of it, you know, be like, okay, how do we do this for, from an operational side, but also from a financial side, because, you know, just a very general business practice, and I'm not necessarily, you know, reinventing the wheel here, but if you get more inventory, it costs less because you get it in bulk. And we're basically allowing ourselves to do that now with the help of the BDC, which more on that later. And they are not sponsoring the podcast, but we love the BDC. And Futurepreneur, shout out to them as well. Well, maybe a little tag or something. Just being able to do that is a big milestone.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak to personal growth as well. In what ways has your role in Eights influenced your personal and professional growth?
I think I'm still wrestling with that now.
Yeah.
Will be probably for like a long time. I feel like that'll be an ongoing, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
of course. We're always learning.
Yeah. And that relationship between work and personal life is so interesting, especially when you're starting a business, as I'm learning now. And I think, you know, I think it's like, I'm just noticing it. It pushed me in a way that I don't think I've felt since I started university, really. There's maybe one job I had between university and now that I feel like right now it's like, this is, you know, really pushing like me figuring out how to handle this capacity and this amount of moving pieces that are so different from each other. I think this is another step up from what I've ever, you know, ever had to manage. And there's a lot of excitement behind that because we're, you know, it means things are moving and growing. But I've definitely noticed like it's forced me to wrestle in my personal life with like, you know, take a really hard look at like time management and, task management and just like
priorities
and just being more rooted with you know, how I go about things. Not that I was a disaster before, but I think it's just like a more responsibility you have, the more like efficient you've got to be like in other personal areas.
Yes.
Even bringing some stuff to the surface, like personally that like, I've been maybe wrestling with for a long time, but never really got a handle on. And especially like working with a really helpful like counselor, and like my doctor is really, really great, like from a personal standpoint, is kind of like pushed me, I think, in a helpful way to kind of attack some of those things head on rather than just live with them, because I think that was impacting work. You know, I mean, it was like, it was getting to the point where I was impacting what I was able to pull off with you and with like the business and like just mental space. And so I think that in a good way, the growth has meant like, okay, I've had to take a hard look at some other areas of life and be like, okay, how do I manage this more, just more diligently, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt like that those improvements, like those have made improvements in my life, and I'm very grateful for that. So, I don't know. Those are the things that you don't think about when like, we should incorporate and like make this a business. It's like, all I'm thinking about is like playing guitar. I'm thinking about like those things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a lot of other elements to it. So, and I didn't give a lot of detail there, but
thanks for sharing still, on that. And you mentioned with this one thing, the incorporating thing, which we did in February, of this year. I feel like there's a major shift there, shift, which I wasn't necessarily expecting. I was expecting it. You know, we had talked about it for a while, but I wasn't expecting at what point it would actually like change things. And you know, for the freelancers that are maybe listening to the podcast, for me, having been a freelancer for a very long time, in the music industry, it really changed the way I did things at home and just the way I did things, because now I'm working for the business. I'm not necessarily working for myself. So it changes things like financially. It changes things, from a priorities perspective, as in like, you know, sometimes the business has to come first. But these are all parts of growing with Eights, and growing myself. You know, I asked about the personal and the professional growth side of things. Professionally, it's allowing us to grow this other entity than ourselves. You know, it's like our child, really. Quite literally, we're sort of married now, Nate. I don't know if you noticed that, but wait a second.
I gotta go make a phone call.
But professionally, it's changed a lot of things. Personally as well, like you said, prioritizing different things and recognizing your responsibilities, you know, definitely. It means that I can't play as many video games as I was doing before, or like, you know, things like that. But also, it's like recognizing that there are more important parts while still being able to reset or rest. It's just different. It's just different now, you know. It's like I'm arguably spending even more time with, you know, my partner, my family, but it's because I'm prioritizing this Eights and them. It's not like Eights and all these other things and also them.
Right.
It's not necessarily that I'm sacrificing the personal life. It's just that I'm sacrificing all these other hobbies or activities that I was doing. And I'm sort of grateful for that.
I was going to ask if there was any difficulty in that. Like, was there a point that was there any point where it was like, you've been feeling the weight of that, or do you feel like there's been relief in that?
Definitely the weight of it, for sure. I would say maybe a year and a half ago, it was harder than it is right now, but for different reasons. A year and a half ago is hard because we weren't necessarily sure where we were at. We weren't getting as many clients as we were hoping to. Maybe not as much as activity for the business. Now it's about managing all of it. which is a good, it's a good problem to have, I guess, in a way, you know. I also don't want to get trapped in that sort of analogy or whatever. But there are some, there are definitely some difficulties in that, because it is often, as an adult now, which is crazy, you know, it's like on business and then on adult, you know, even if the business is so busy, there's still dishes to make, you know, dishes to do rather to clean. Meals to make, dishes to do, dogs to walk, cats to feed, all these things. And I haven't even gotten to the wedding planning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's that's another thing for another time. For another time.
Yeah. I don't want to deal too much, but how have you found, if it's not too personal to ask, your relationship? Like, because there's a lot to do outside of work, and there's a lot to do at work right now.
Yeah.
Have you found that adjustments, like those, there were difficult adjustments to make? Do you feel like it's been easier because like y'all are living in the same place? Like, what's that been like during these last 6 months?
Well, you know, during the last 6 months, we've had a lot of different things happen as well. My partner also got a new job. So that's a whole thing. It's sometimes she's out of the house for 12 hours a day because of this job. So there's a whole other thing. But it's the busyness of eights, let's say, the responsibilities of being co-owners, but also her job and her responsibilities as well, have just allowed us to also prioritize our time together as well. And it's easier said. It's not necessarily that it's easier said than done, but it's easier when we live together.
Right.
You know, I recognize in your situation, it's maybe a little bit different. But to get back to your questions, yes, there's been some difficulty, of course. But I'm very grateful that my partner understands where I am right now and, where we are headed as a company. I think it's important for, you know, partners in especially in entrepreneurial sort of settings or necessarily being a partner in an entrepreneurial with an entrepreneurial person. I think it's important for that partner to also understand, where the partner is in his business, but also where they also want it to go. So I think that's been great for us. So that's sort of my answer. And definitely the deepest I've ever gotten on this podcast. So thank you, Nate.
That's what I'm here for.
There you go.
That's great, man. I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. I feel like, I can speak to this too. Like, she's a huge supporter of, like, I feel like she's very, like, a huge champion of what we do in your role. And I'm very grateful for that too. Cause, I can have your back on the work front, but I have a certain assurance and like gratitude as well that I know on the home front, you've got family who's very, very supportive. And I know I have family too, supportive of what we do. And so that's like, you know, encouraging for me to see as well. Cause I know, okay, like we both have people in our corner aside from me who are encouraging us and supporting us. And, so I'm very grateful for that too.
Fantastic. It's reciprocal, of course. On to the next question here, folks.
keep it moving.
Sorry?
No, we'll keep it moving.
Yeah, all good. Two quick questions to wrap up the in-depth questions, as we've titled it here. What are some of the strategic goals for the next 12 months with eights and, how do we plan to achieve them without maybe not getting into the weeds here, from a strategic perspective?
The work permits are a huge one. That's a huge goal. And then strategizing, how we divide time, how we reach out to people, how we build those bridges are going to be a huge probably have a lot of discussions about that over the next year. You know, getting back to being in a physical space, I feel like, is one of those goals that we've talked about for a long, you know, for a while now, since last winter. Whether that's this coming 12 months, you know, I don't know, but I think that's coming more and more to the top of my head, like personally. Just things are going for us. So, in terms of achieving that, in terms of achieving anything right now, I'm hesitant to say I know, because I just feel like every day it just feels like a new, like, fresh start in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as I'm strategic goals wise, like, what comes to your mind beside those two things? Obviously there's a lot, but.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I think from a market perspective, I definitely think the O1 is the biggest one for us right now, because it's definitely a key to another sort of universe, a key to a door, and not a house like my duck analogy earlier. But anyway, I think from a goals, strategic, whether operational or strategic, I think in the next 12 months, it'd be great to, do a little bit more, just a little bit more on the creative side as well. Maybe bigger shows, not necessarily bigger shows, but maybe more shows, and lengthier shows maybe, and touring shows, which would be fantastic. Not that we haven't done them, but just adding would be fantastic. And just getting as well different perspectives, where it's like, you know, we've been doing a lot of like rock and pop. It'd be great to diversify, even just for ourselves, in regards to challenging ourselves in different genres and different ways to think about a show would be fantastic. Just from a strategic point of view, you know, and I say strategic because it is a strategic sort of outset that we would have to have if we would want to change that, because a lot of creative directors, a lot of musical directors put themselves in a niche a lot of times, and a lot of clients know them for a specific genre. And it'd be great for us to look at other things, not necessarily from a networking side, but just from a challenging ourselves on the creative side. What do these people like and need, versus these other people in this other genre, I think would be very interesting just from a strategic point of view, while we're still early on in our process at Eights.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'd be very curious to like dabble in some other genres. I've been thinking about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, Nate. It's time for the fun questions.
Oh, finally.
I know. I know. Would you like to start?
Yeah. All right. Let's power through some fun questions.
Let's do it. Quick answers here.
Josh, insert transition here. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Josh is my brother. He's been editing the podcast. He's helping edit the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever been mentioned, but yeah. He's our like Jamie, basically. No. Well, I'm kidding. Sorry. You can cut that out. What was your earliest, as you can remember, favorite band?
Oh, the Beatles. That's an easy one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like earliest band, you're like, that's my favorite band, is Beatles.
Yeah. It was a high chair vibes for me.
Oh.
Especially the Beatles album with the Beatles, was a high chair sort of spoon feeding Matt, at the dinner table album vibe. So that was very, very early on. The Beatles have been a part of my family forever. Still one of my most listened to, sort of groups of all time. I listened to Le Revolver today. Definitely the Beatles.
Okay.
Now in my sort of adult life and maybe my adolescence and whatever, it's been Radiohead, for the longest time. as you probably know, as people that listen to this podcast also probably know. If you follow me on Instagram, you know it's Radiohead. Yeah, yourself. I know we said that we weren't going to do the yourself for the fun questions, but I want to know.
You know, it's funny. I didn't listen to a lot of like bands.
Yeah.
As a kid. Like my dad and I would make a lot of like mixtapes. So like I was still like, I'm really dating myself here.
But like, okay, Nate, we're in our 20s.
Maybe you would kill me for saying that. No, but like we make a lot of cassettes or like CDs and like put a bunch of, and then like when we were like driving around to like go play basketball or like go to like my grandparents' house, we'd like play these tapes. And but it was a lot of like 70s and like 80s music, obviously.
Right.
Like a lot of like Chic, Casey and the Sunshine Band, or like the Cars, like a lot of stuff like that that my dad grew up on, you know.
Yeah.
There was like one band, but it was like a lot of those like 70s funk, like Kool and the Gang.
There you go. Hey, all right.
So my dad play a lot of those like funk kind of fun music. So yeah, I don't know if I could pick one, but I mean like probably the earliest would be like some of those like Chic or like Kool and the Gang.
That's so crazy. That's great. Yeah. On that sort of note, my first question to you with as a fun question is, if Eights were a band, what genre would it be?
Oh, what genre? I thought it was
going to be what genre. Band.
What band would it be is Tears for Fears for sure.
Okay.
I'm for the big chair. Are you kidding me?
I thought you were going to say like a duo of some sort. Like,
no, they're a duo. Tears
for Fears. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Wham.
Wham, yeah. Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh my goodness. What genre would it be?
Yeah. What genre?
I mean, man, that's a tough one. Probably thrash metal.
Yeah, big thrash metal guys.
I'm kidding. I feel like we are like our first bond, like conversation ever we had. We like bonded over like R&B, like D'Angelo and like
yes,
MJ and like a lot of that R&B. It's always more pop leaning, but like, you know,
yeah, that vibe,
you know, so I feel like somewhere in there, like,
yeah. Yeah. And you know, I don't know if that's our demographic, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. And Josh, you can probably cut that. But
I don't know what you're talking about with that one.
Okay.
Or John Mayer, I was like anything that's kind of in that wheelhouse of like pocket.
Yes.
Like I feel like when we first like met, we like talked a lot. Like Pino. Right. I mean,
oh,
we over Pino.
Brother. Yes. P.
Is it Eric? Right. Yeah. So oh, I don't know that. I don't know. Like, something in that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Okay, my turn for a question. Wait, would you agree?
I guess I would agree. Your turn. Yes.
What is your favorite pre or post show or both snack?
Pizza. Easy questions, Damn. Nate. What are we doing here? Oh yeah. Post show pizza is crazy.
I was thinking it's like A&W or something, bro. Like,
oh yeah. A&W does
shawarma.
Smash.
I feel like we do a lot of shawarma.
Oh,
like,
a little shawarma. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, pizza's. Yeah. That's very valid.
Pizza is my favorite food just generally, but yeah, please go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was gonna ask what your favorite pizza place is in Toronto for those who don't know. Which is an
for those who don't know, Batty Alley, Argyle Street, fantastic.
That is your number one in Toronto, yeah.
That's my number one in Toronto, yeah. Batty Alley. There's so many more, like literally so many more. Toronto's so great.
Batty Alley for the first time with you.
You did. And Earth to Emily, shout out.
Yeah, with Emily is probably, easily one of the best pieces of pizza I've ever had in my life.
Right, and it rivals New York, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. No, like compared to like the best pizza I've had in New York is like, that's like right beside it.
Yeah. Fantastic. What's a dream project you'd love for Eights to take on, no matter how wild?
Okay.
Maybe not necessarily now, but like, you know, in like, you know, like just like dream it up, brother.
Yeah. I want to do something like more multimedia at some point.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what that is, but like if we could ever work with a team that includes like a full video crew and like dance crew, like I've always wanted to like,
yeah.
Like produce a project where it's like, I get, you know, you, whatever the roles are, get to like communicate with like a visual director and like a choreo team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's for a music video or for like, or like I've always wanted to do like a full album recording live. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yes.
Like a full album and like see, like, you know, like create like a movie of it or something. That's maybe a bit more like a personal thing, but I'm just like, there's a couple albums that I've like listened to. And I'm like, oh, I would love to do this is like a whole visual thing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I feel like we would be very, like, that would be a very exciting project for us because we both have experience outside of just music.
Yeah.
So, I would love to see us get to do something. I don't know what that is, but like,
yeah.
Probably define a project, but, something that incorporates more than just music, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
No, VR. No, I'm kidding. I'm curious to know your answer to that, even though I know I said we wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Very similar. I think for me, one of my big references of all time for just, you know, just a creative project is Radiohead's From the Basement sessions, both from a musical standpoint, from a video standpoint. I love live from the studio recordings, sort of a live off the floor vibe, for that. And it's the performances, but it's also like the B roll stuff, you know, like the cheeky, like getting into the studio, you know, it's what does the outside sort of look like? What does the inside look like when they're setting up, when they're talking in between takes? Like, I love that stuff. That stuff is really, juicy. There you go.
I agree. Yeah.
So live on the floor stuff or the Super Bowl. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adam Blackfield, if you're listening.
Yeah, I've got exactly. Exactly.
Cool. Okay, cool. That was your question. So my turn, right? To ask a question.
Yes. Yeah.
What's your biggest bleep moment on stage that you can remember? And to just keep it like PG and like, you know, we didn't know what moment that is. And what did you do?
That's a great question. Question back is as a drummer or as a non-drummer?
It could be either. Whatever is more like in like just either recent memory or that like comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, a big recent memory is the Shub arena tour. Where our playback rig shut down mid sort of show, and we need to really you know, think about some options, long story short, the show still went on and we saved the show, but there were some big chats afterwards. Long story short as well, the next show was fantastic.
Yeah. Very briefly, what did you do in the moment?
Panicked. I almost had literally had a panic attack. It was one of my first times that it had happened, in that role, for sure. It wasn't a pleasant moment. Like, if I'm being like completely honest, So it was from a playback perspective, and it was from an interface perspective and interface interacting with both laptops, so redundant laptops. And in the moment, I basically shut off the redundancy and made the session much, 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 much leaner so that the laptop would run much, much smoother and without any sort of redundant aspects to it. So I know it's big. How do you say that? It's a lot of details there for those not in the playback world, but basically just paring down the system to just the essentials to finish the show. And at a certain point, the auto-tune wasn't working. So I had to change all the auto-tune settings for about 30 minutes of a show, of a rap show, which is crazy. I had one laptop, somebody else's laptop, our production manager's laptop in one hand. And I had the details of each song, the auto-tune songs, and when they were changing in the song. And I was literally manually doing it on the UA plugin.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that was that night. So that's definitely one of the biggest bleep moments, as you said. That's from a playback perspective. From a drummer's perspective, there hasn't been much. There's been a few times. Oh, well, actually very, very early on in my career, in my high school, let's say my high school playing days, I was at a festival and I was hitting the bass drum a little too hard and I broke the skin of the batter head, and the festival, being a high school festival, didn't have any replacements.
Of course, yeah.
So lucky enough, we were like the last band or the last song, so we just ended there and finished the song. That was one of the, I'm just remembering now, I haven't even thought of that moment in many, many, many years. But I've been lucky enough from a drummer's perspective or from an onstage perspective to not have had too many crazy things.
Yeah. No, it's good. And just to speak to that one moment in Australia too, like I remember getting texts from you at like 4 a.m. cause it was like the time change was crazy.
16 hours, I think.
Yeah. But the team, I remember hearing, was very proud of how you handled all that, even though I know it was hyper stressful and we never want to have you in that situation again. Yeah. I'm very proud of how you handled it, and I'm proud of you for how you handled it. And I'm glad we're over it though. But
thanks, man.
Thank you. So, of course.
What is your go-to guilty pleasure song?
Yeah, that's a really tough one, because I think it changes a lot. Like, I feel like it changes. I'm trying to think of like how much I want to embarrass myself right now. I know what it is, bro. You know what it is? It's Simple Plan's version of the Scooby-Doo theme song. That song goes so unnecessarily hard.
That's so funny.
Like, melodically, like just the rhythm of it. Like, and I'm not saying I've been listening to a lot, but the amount of times that song will just come up in my head. Yeah. And I'll like notice it like stuck in my head. I don't know why. I think it's because I grew up with that version of Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
And can I touch on that very quickly? The Beaches were just opening up for them at a festival in Europe.
Did they play that live?
And they play it live. Yeah. That's the Scooby-Doo crazy song. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
That, or I'm like, I literally have Spotify open right now. Guilty. And probably some like yacht rock song. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know what you mean.
By Christopher Cross or something. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, listen, I have no way to work. Like,
fantastic.
Yeah. That Simple Plan song absolutely rips. And it's not you. What about you?
Oh, I thought we were going to do that.
No, I know, but I gotta know. The people gotta know. They're asking.
I don't.
Vogue by Madonna.
Well, that's a great song. But the thing is that, like, not to like cheapen out my answer here, but I feel like I'm not necessarily very ashamed of what I listen to, I guess. not that you're ashamed. Oh, I guess. maybe for myself, and I'm cheapening the question here. Maybe it's like, what sort of music would people not expect you to listen to?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I listen to a lot of like jazz, a lot of classical type stuff. I do love a Christmas song though. A Christmas song, maybe to go to the guilty pleasure. I love a Christmas type song, holiday song in the summertime.
Like just Christmas songs in general.
Just Christmas songs in the summertime. I often find myself singing holiday songs in the kitchen in like July. So yeah, it's like, you know, I'm just looking forward to the wintertime.
That's so interesting. I have a very strict like tradition with myself that I don't allow myself to listen to Christmas music until like after American Thanksgiving, at least, if not December 1st.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just naturally
comes up, which is probably the guilty pleasure part of my answer. Yeah.
Like we're talking like simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Literally that one. Yes. I have it in my head right now. Yeah. The Paul McCartney version.
That song, I don't know what it is. I think because it's poor guy.
The sun is up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The sky is blue. Fantastic.
all right.
Nate, let's do one more question each here.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to ask this one because this is the one that I postponed earlier in our chat.
Okay.
I've kind of reframed it just a little bit mentally, but I was going to ask you about not playing the drums very much anymore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I haven't seen you play the drums a whole lot. I think the Earth to Emily show we did, you played on that. And there'd been a couple of things.
The Jade one recently.
Yeah. Jade one. But it hasn't taken up as much time as it had in previous years.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's an obvious answer if I ask, like, do you miss it? But how do you stay fulfilled creatively right now with everything going on?
That's a great question. And just to be fairly frank, I am not creatively fulfilled right now.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you know, I think, well, to get to the first part of your question, I think the drums, I haven't been playing a lot of drums lately because of space. So if you remember, maybe a few eights updates ago, we were chatting about not having a physical space anymore. And that ended in January of this year, 2024. So that alone is a very, very big barrier, especially in Toronto for drummers to not necessarily have a space. So that's been a bit, very big part of not necessarily been being creatively fulfilled and not necessarily having the playing time that I'd love to have. In regards to the creative fulfillment, I guess it's been heavily balanced on the business side of the scale recently. Where it's been a lot of creative development on the business side, but also a lot of just operationally, you know, thinking about that, being a little bit more on the side stage of things in regards to our clients and our contracts, being more on the creative direction, musical direction, and playback side of things, which have been very professionally fulfilling, you know. But maybe from a creative side, it's a little less because I'd say a lot of our contracts as of right now, which is, I want to emphasize as of right now, is maybe I'd say 10% on the creative side. But once we get to rehearsals, it's like all about like the refinement of the idea. So from that perspective, that 10% is not necessarily fulfilling me creatively all the time. I haven't necessarily been chatting a lot about this on the pod or publicly or anything like that, but I'm taking some steps towards maybe a few different solo project ideas. So that's interesting. More on that probably at another time. But also through this creative fulfillment, I've been, you know, taking the time to develop my creative references and listening a lot more than chatting. Or maybe not chatting, because I do a lot of chatting on the podcast, but listening more than expressing, I think is the right way to say it. Where it's I'm gathering a lot of information right now from other people in the podcast, from other people in my network, from the clients that we have a lot. But not necessarily expressing, which I am missing. But I'm also recognizing that taking it in is also sometimes more important than expressing. Just seeing that, and I'm very, very happy with that. So to answer your question very broadly, maybe not necessarily creatively fulfilled at the very moment, but I'm still very happy. So, That's great. But hopefully, moving more in that direction shortly. That being said, there's still a lot of, work to do on eights, and I recognize that as well. So I want to balance my time because of my answer earlier that I was saying, you know, the responsibilities that we're taking with eights as business owners, but also the responsibilities at home as a human, it's taking up, I'd say like 110% of my time. So trying to get some time for that, you know, creative fulfillment, is taking the back burner right now. But it is what it is.
Yeah. No, sorry. It's important though, because it's, it recharges you, and you know, that's something I've been keeping in mind too, is like for both of us, you know, is it possible to have some of that carved out in some way? Yeah. Does that look like, you know, really hard in the first year?
Yeah. You know? Yes.
But like, you know, that what can we do on that front? You know? Yes, I get that, man. I get that, but I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I want to ask you a lighter question, maybe a little bit on that side. What is your perfect day off? Talking about responsibilities and, you know, things like that. What if we had a day off, which is crazy because I don't think we've had an eighth day off really ever, where we've said, okay, let's not talk today. If you had an entire day off with no responsibilities, how would you spend it?
I would, well, that's a great question. Like I would get up in the morning, sleep in a little bit.
Yeah.
Have my coffee and like maybe read a little bit. And then I would fit in some basketball with my dad. We like to play basketball a lot. So I'd fit that in. I would then go for a little coffee and walk because it'd be summer, because obviously it's going to be summer because I don't like the winter very much.
Yeah.
And it's gonna
more
be,
coffee. I just have to say more coffee.
Yeah, maybe a second coffee. Maybe it's decaf. Maybe it's like more of a specialty coffee that time.
Okay.
A little walk, maybe a lunch date kind of thing. And then, have a little barbecue in the evening outside. And then go hang out with some friends at night. Very active.
That sounds fantastic.
That's like, if I could just like pick what I try to carve out.
Yeah.
Day, that would be,
yeah,
that'd be like a great day.
And honestly, not that crazy, Nate. And I think we should, as a lesson to ourselves today, that should be doable.
I didn't think about that. I was not thinking like grand. I was thinking like, what would I like to do?
tomorrow. Labor Day.
Perfect day off. No, perfect. You know what?
No.
I'll go to my grandparents' farm, I think.
What I'm actually saying about this is that if that's the perfect day as you see it, I think as a lesson to ourselves, that should be something that we should be empowering ourselves to do. You know what I'm saying?
I can fully book next Saturday to do that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. More grand would be like going, like, I would love to go to Canada's Wonderland right now. Like, I haven't been in years.
And again, that's not crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I want to go to the Himalayan mountains, bro.
No, but what I'm saying is that this is even a better answer and question than I thought it was going to be, because it just speaks to the fact that we can do this, and just, I want to, you know, be that guy and allow ourselves to do that. And it's a great way to finish this podcast, because
You have to answer this too.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that it's a great AIDS update, because it's also us realizing that we can also do that, and empowering also our listeners to do that as well.
That's true. That's good. Appreciate that.
My perfect day off is no coffee, because I'm not a coffee drinker. Maybe no reading as well. I love a book. I do love reading. I do read a lot, but in a perfect day, I'm probably not reading. I don't know. A perfect day off at home is Marina also having a day off, so that we can spend it together. A little brunch, probably. Brunch time, you know, love a big brunch sitch. Probably later afternoon, probably just to sit around, maybe a little movie. I love an afternoon movie, because you get to finish a movie.
Right.
Because I'm a big sleeper at night when I do movies or shows or anything like that. So I love a good afternoon movie. And then probably a hangout with some friends at some point during the day. I love a good friend hang, but I also love cooking. And I know you know this about me. I would do a little bit of an elaborate dinner. So probably not a lunch. I would do a brunch, no lunch, big dinner.
Ooh, those days are banging, man. I love those.
With a little snack with the afternoon movie, though. You know what I'm saying? So that's a great day.
What are you doing Saturday, bro?
What was that?
What are you doing next Saturday?
Yeah. Want to do basketball, lunch, brunch, barbecue, an elaborate dinner, hang out with the bros?
Staff day, staff family day.
Staff family day. We should chat about that. But that's how we end the episode today, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Nate, thank you so much for the chat today. It was very great to chat with you. Yes, about the company, but also about this friendship, I guess, in a way. You know, we've been getting caught up in a lot of business stuff, and it's great to have a chat. Yes, on the air, recorded, which is funny, but still to have a little bit more. Fun with it. And I think that's important. So thanks for coming on.
Of course, man. Appreciate you, and excited to get at it tomorrow morning.
Cool, man. Okay. Well, thanks again for those who have been here. Maybe I hope it's not necessarily your last episode. Maybe it's your first. I hope you come on in the next few weeks. We got some great guests lined up, and stay tuned on our socials. I'm not going to do a typical conclusion to this episode. I've decided it just now because I want to end it on this note. Have fun this week. Have a good time. Don't necessarily only think about work, and we'll chat very soon. Thanks again, everybody.